was a sunstone, and I used mine on the dimmest setting to light my way as I crept through the nest. All my friends were asleep. The only people still up were the handful of guards, and they said nothing, standing silently at their posts as I walked by. I nodded at them and went down the long staircase to the bathing chamber's heavy wooden door. I stripped out of my nightgown at the entrance, wrapped myself in a towel, and stepped inside. Except someone was already there. I gasped and jerked back, before realizing that even in my sunstone's dim light, I could make out a familiar-toned frame and black hair. Zell was resting just inside the pool, the dark water up to his hips, his arms sprawled out along the pool's edge, and his head craned to the ceiling. He was definitely, totally, completely naked. I couldn't see below the water's edge, but I could see just the top curve of his pubic bone above it. My breath choked up in my throat.
"Tilla."
He glanced up at me. He seemed totally unashamed, which made me feel weirdly prudish for having gasped.
"Can't sleep either?"
"Nope."
"I guess it's something we'll always have in common."
There was something off about his voice.
"You can join me, if you'd like."
The thought of joining a totally naked Zell in a pool was terrifying, but was also kind of exciting, and I didn't want to back out now. Still, I was keeping my towel on. "Sure," I said, and lowered myself onto the bench next to him. My sunstone was still very dim, and I kept it that way, letting the dark water hide our bodies. "Been here a while?" Zell didn't say anything. I noticed for the first time the empty wine bottle lying on its side behind him. The weirdness in his voice suddenly made sense. He was drunk. But instead of seeming happy and relaxed, he seemed on edge, like he was struggling and failing to keep up his cool front. "Are you okay?" I asked. He breathed deeply, his eyes shut.
"No,"
he said quietly.
"I'm not."
"What's wrong? I don't understand. It seemed like you were having fun tonight." He shook his head.
"I was. That's the problem."
"How is that a problem?" He opened his eyes to look at me, and now I could see that whatever wall he'd been trying to put up between us was crumbling fast. He didn't say anything for a while, then finally his breathing hitched and the words slipped out, like he couldn't bear to hold them in a second longer.
"Her name was Kalia."
"Her? The girl? The one you slept with? Was that what this is about? Was Zell this broken up over some girl back home? I hated to admit it, but I felt a jealous sting."
"Yes,"
Zell said.
"Kalia Vale. She was the daughter of the chief of Clan Vale, one of Clan Gaul's greatest allies, and she was betrothed to my brother."
"Oh," I said, and that jealousy turned to something else, a cold, rising dread. "Raz, you mean?" Zell nodded.
"She was beautiful and smart and had a true kindness in her. We'd been friends since childhood. We told each other our secrets. We shared our dreams. We made each other laugh. We were each other's first kiss, first love, all of it. I begged my father to let me marry her, but Raz was the older son, and we needed to secure Clan Vale's alliance. So she was made his."
The words were just spilling out now, and there was no stopping them. How long had Zell kept this bottled up? Had he ever talked to anyone about it?
"I swallowed my pride and she swallowed hers. But she deserved so, so much better. I found her one morning outside my room, shivering, naked, wrapped in just a blanket. She'd defied Raz, told him she would leave him if he ever laid hands on her again, and he'd hurt her, beat her, used her."
Zell's brow furrowed with rage, and hate danced in his eyes. But for once, I felt like there was no barrier between us, that he was speaking to me without holding anything back. It made my heart ache with his pain, and it scared the hell out of me.
I took her in. I swore I'd never let my brother harm her again. So the next day, I challenged him to tenre loc.
A duel, I guessed. Zell nodded.
A duel to the death. The highest challenge of a Zitochi warrior, offered before the eyes of the gods themselves. There was no turning back, and Raz, he just laughed and accepted it. My father gathered all the chieftains to watch. I swore the last rites. I put on my paint. I met Raz in the Hall of Gods, and when he saw my face, when he saw how angry I was, I think that was the only time he ever looked scared.
Zell was starting to choke up a little, his voice scratchy and raw.
I was so angry, so God's damned angry. I kept thinking of the bruises on Kalia's neck, the tears in her eyes. I hated Raz so much then, I beat the hell out of him. I knocked him down, kicked his daggers away, and put my sword to his neck.
Zell breathed deeply, his eyes glistened.
And I couldn't do it, Tila. Even with how much I hated him, how much I loved Kalia. I couldn't kill my own brother. I was weak. I was a coward. I spared him.
His voice was filled with disgust. You showed mercy, Zell, I said softly. That's not weakness. It's strength.
It was the greatest shame Clan Gall had ever experienced,
Zell said.
You do not show mercy in a Tenre Loc, not with the gods watching, not before the chieftains of all the clans. My father was furious. He beat me half to death, broke my arm, gave me this.
He reached down and touched a long, crooked scar on his stomach.
Worse than that, he disowned me. I lost my title, my rank, my home. I became a bastard, to live forever in dishonor, trying to atone for my failure.
A tear ran down Zell's cheek.
That night, Kalia told Raz that she loved me. And she would sooner join the Zendane, the clanless woman, than ever be his wife. So he choked Kalia to death and left her body in the snow just outside my window.
Zell, I stammered. I'm so sorry.
He knew, you see. He knew that if anyone found out what he'd done, Clan Gall would be shamed and sullied in the eyes of the 12. Kalia's father would demand all of our hands. My father would never yield. It would be war in the Hall of Zalcorso, clan against clan, bloodshed the likes of which we haven't seen in centuries.
Another tear streaked down Zell's face, then another.
So I took her body, and I buried her, far away in the woods, where no one would find her. I told lies about how she was planning to flee to the south, and said nothing when others called her a coward, a traitor, a runaway. Raz killed her and left her because he knew I'd cover it up for him. That was exactly what he wanted.
Zell brushed his cheek, then showed me the back of his hand. The night glass blades growing out of his knuckles sparkled darkly in the sunstone's light, their tips looking sharper and deadlier than ever.
That's why I got these. Not just as a weapon, but as a reminder. To never show mercy. To never be weak. To never let someone hurt me like that again.
He was breathing fast now, his nostrils flaring.
Every day I look at these, and all I can think about is how much I failed her.
Zell, please. I tried, but I was crying too now. Because finally, after all this time, he made sense. His coldness, his distance, his insistence on running. All of it was an armored front put on to battle a greater pain than any I had ever known. He had stuck with us, protected us without hesitation, because he knew exactly what would happen if he didn't. He could have left us. Instead, he chose to face his worst nightmare every time Raz got close. I reached out and took his hand, ran my finger along the knuckle, where cold stone met warm skin. "You kept us safe with these hands," I said. "You saved us a dozen times over, kept us alive, helped us cross an entire province. If it wasn't for you, we'd all be dead. I'd be dead."
"I showed weakness,"
Zell repeated, like he couldn't bring himself to hear me.
"I killed Kalia."
"No, Raz killed Kalia, and he killed her because he's a vicious, evil piece of shit." I clutched his hand tight. "But your mercy, your kindness isn't weakness. It's strength. It's what guides you to protect others. It's what separates you from Raz. It's the best thing about you." And then the words spilled out, like a surging river through a broken dam, because I just couldn't keep them in anymore. "It's why I love you." He stared at me, stunned, and I couldn't believe it, but he was actually shaking.
"I'll fail you," he whispered. "I'll let you down. I'll get you killed. I can't.
"Shh," I whispered. And I couldn't think of anything else to say, not with words. So I lifted his hand to my lips and I kissed it, so softly, like a lord with a lady at a courtly dance. I pressed my lips to him, right where night glass met flesh, and I tasted cold, hard stone and soft, warm skin. Zell inhaled sharply, his bare chest heaving. But he didn't pull away, so I kept kissing him, working my way along his hand, tenderly kissing each blade. He turned his hand around and ran his fingertip along my lips, and my heart was thundering and my cheeks were flushed. I could feel his breath on my skin, and when I looked up to meet his eyes, they were burning with a certainty I'd never seen before. A rush of heat spread through me. More. I needed more. I lifted my face and found his lips, slow and gentle at first. I felt him ease me onto his lap, and my towel slipped into the dark water as I erased the distance between us, and the kisses became deeper, more frantic, as we breathed each other in. His hands were running through my hair, and I was clutching at the firm muscles of his back. We moved as one, melting together like wax streaking down a candle. And as he whispered my name again and again, my hands tightened around his arms and I pressed my face into the crook of his shoulder, knowing in the deepest part of my being that this moment would always, always be ours. Afterward, we lay on the bench inside the pool's edge, my cheek pressed against his bare chest while he cradled me with one strong arm, the water lapping against our hips. We didn't say anything. We didn't have to. We just lay together, and sometimes I'd lean up and kiss him, and sometimes he'd bend down and kiss me. And he held me close, and I traced my fingertips along his thigh as I listened to his heartbeat in his chest. The water was cold, but he was so, so warm. And I felt safe, and I felt right, and I felt the happiest I thought I'd ever felt in my entire life. Chapter 25. I went back to my room an hour later, but not before Zell left me with the best kiss I'd ever had. I'm not saying Liriana was totally wrong with her special moment thing, but this kiss was pretty damn special. Still glowing inside, I collapsed in my bed and fell into the deepest and richest sleep of my life. I woke up hours later, and when I threw open the windows, the sky was the soft pink of sunset. I'd slept through the entire day. Again. I lay in my bed for a while, just letting the events of last night play out over and over in my head. I had to keep forcing myself to acknowledge it hadn't been a dream. I might have lay there for another couple of hours, just soaking up the memories, but a commotion from the courtyard roused me from bed. I peeked out the window and saw that the nest's gates were open, and the castle's wide, grassy courtyard was covered in a throng of people. Women, by the looks of them, from Lightspire, all wearing faint green robes with gossamer veils over their faces. Were they?
"The Sisters of Kaia!"
Lyriana cried in my doorway, helpfully answering my question. They're here! Even Archmatron Marlena! Come on, Tilla! You have to meet them! I followed after Lyriana, down the tower's winding staircase, through the sprawling great hall that connected all of the nest's wings, and out the heavy wooden doors to the courtyard. Galen was there, a dour look on his face, and he was talking to one of the sisters. She was tall, taller than him, and had a confident, refined air that told me she had to be someone in power. She turned to us as we approached, and even through the veil I could see her emerald eyes glow with excitement. "Novice Lyriana," she said, her voice matronly and warm. "We had all mourned your passing when the whispers came. It is a wonder and honor to see you again." Maybe the Lyriana I'd met back at Castle Waverly would have responded with equal decorum, but the Lyriana who tromped her way through the western province had no time for that. She ran over and grabbed the woman in a hug.
"Archmatron, I am so, so happy to see you again."
The older woman stepped back, trying to maintain some dignity, but patted Lyriana gently on the back. She had at least 3 rings on each finger, green and turquoise and lavender, and they clinked together very lightly as she moved.
"Your help will be greatly needed in the coming days. I fear a terrible war is coming, perhaps even more terrible than the last, and its first battle will be fought in these very lands. We must be ready to take care of the wounded, to evacuate civilians, to offer aid and sustenance."
I looked around the courtyard. There were definitely a lot of sisters there, maybe 30 or 40, all of them standing stiff and composed, waiting, presumably, to be told what to do. If they were curious about us, their posture didn't betray it. Their rings sparkled in the sun. I wondered how much good they could actually do, how many lives they would be able to save. Heavy footsteps padded toward us. I turned around to see Jax stumbling into the courtyard, looking green and very, very hungover. And just behind him was Zell. For a second, I was afraid to look at him. What if he looked away? What if last night had just been a drunken mistake for him? What if when I went to kiss him, he pushed me away? What if he still just wanted to leave? Then his deep, dark eyes met mine, and he smiled, and I knew I had nothing to worry about.
"Your mission is truly noble, Archmatron," Galen said.
He had this way of making you feel like he was totally sincere and lying through his teeth at the same time.
"And I wouldn't dream of interfering with it. But right now, I need to prepare my men for Lord Kent's arrival, and you need to go back to your camp."
The older woman turned back to Galen, confusion written all over her face.
"I don't understand. Why did you summon us, then?"
Galen blinked.
"Why did I what?"
"Why did you summon us?" the Archmatron repeated. "You sent a whisper telling us to come straight here to make plans for an evacuation."
"No, I didn't," Galen said,
every muscle in his body tensing at once. He spun around to the guard standing alongside the hall's door.
"Something's wrong. Something's very wrong."
He was cut off by the trumpeting of horns overhead from the castle's watchtowers.
"No,"
Galen gasped, and then I heard it. Suddenly deafening, the thunder of hooves, the rearing of horses spurred into action. Outside the nest's open gates, past the courtyard, the tree line shuddered and then burst apart as a dozen men on horseback raced out, swords glinting in their hands. Their faces were hidden behind black helms, and their armor was red and gold. Kent colors. The trumpets overhead blared again, louder, more urgent. The guards at the gate scrambled to slam them shut, but they were too late, too slow. A volley of arrows whistled out from the tree line and tore through them. A single shaft flew into the courtyard and caught one of the sisters in the back of the skull.
"No!"
I shouted, but I was drowned out by the noise around me, by the yells of men, by the screaming of the sisters, by the roar of horses. A hand grabbed mine, its knuckles sharp and cold. Zell was by my side. The archers all along the castle ramparts fired back, dropping a few of my father's men, but most of their arrows hit only empty earth. The riders were moving too fast. The front line had already closed half the distance between the tree line and the gate, and more were emerging from the trees, a second row of riders followed by charging footmen. They were going to take the castle. They were going to take us. The sisters around us were panicking, that refined composure lost in a second as they screamed and ran. Archmatron Marlena barked orders at them, demanding they stay calm. Jax sprang forward and grabbed Lyriana's hand. There was no sign of Miles. I looked up at Zell and found his eyes hard, ready.
"Get inside!"
Galen yelled.
"Run!"
And yeah, that was probably a better plan than fighting an entire army on our own. We turned and sprinted as a group, racing across the wide lawn back toward the Great Hall's closed doors. The earth shook underfoot as the horses grew closer. I heard more screaming, the twang of bows, and now the clang of steel on steel. A man shrieked as he plunged off the walls and his body hit the ground with a wet thump. Everything was so loud, it sounded like the fighting wasn't just behind me but all around me, in the hall, on the ramparts above. But that didn't make any sense. I didn't have time to think about it. Leading the pack with Zell at my side and the others behind me, I lunged up the stone steps to the Great Hall and pulled open the doors. And found Raz's grinning face, his night-glass fangs sparkling. I pulled back with a stifled scream and threw a jab at his face, but Raz was fast, so much faster. He effortlessly grabbed my wrist and twisted it, jamming it hard against my back. I yelped, and then I saw them. The other Zatochi, his entire mercenary band, standing alongside him in the Great Hall. Their night-glass blades were out, dripping crimson. Bodies lay behind them. Galen's guardsmen, throats slit, heads crushed, chests ragged. Something warm and wet oozed over my feet. I didn't look down. Raz shoved me in front of himself like a shield and spun me around so I was facing my friends, so I could see their faces as they realized just how screwed we were. We were trapped, with my father's men charging up on one side and Raz's thugs on the other. Galen threw up his hands, a despairing look on his face. Jax stepped protectively in front of Lyriana. Behind them, the horsemen breached the gates and rode into the courtyard, circling the sisters and forcing them to their knees. There was still some scattered fighting, swords clanging on the distant ramparts. But the battle was over. The Lord had surrendered. The castle had been taken.
How the hell had this happened? How had they gotten in? How had it all gone so wrong, so fast?
Zell alone didn't surrender. He had his sword in one hand and his dagger in the other, and his eyes burned a hole through me and Raz as he calculated any possible way to save me. Raz was having none of it.
"Drop the weapon, Snow Cub," he taunted, "or your new girlfriend will find out exactly what happens to bitches who get in my way."
Zell's grip on the sword loosened. I struggled with all my might, but Raz was too strong and holding me too well. Damn it! Damn it! All that training, all that practice, and it hadn't made any difference. Raz sighed with annoyance and jerked my head to the side, then pressed his night-glass fangs to my throat. I could smell his sour breath and feel the fangs' sharp prick.
"Now!"
"Don't do it!"
I begged, but it was no use. Zell let his blades fall to the ground.
"Never change, baby brother!"
Raz laughed. He reared his head back, mouth agape, fangs ready. My heart thundered. I sucked in my breath. I'd failed my friends. I'd failed my brother. I was going to die. I was really going to die.
"Let her go!"
A stern voice commanded from the courtyard. It was the leader of the riders, a tall, armored man, and he took off his helm as he hopped down from his horse. I already knew who he was, though. I'd recognize my father's voice anywhere. Time seemed to slow down as he approached us, striding confidently past the rows of kneeling sisters. I'd never seen my father fully armored before. An ornate metal breastplate guarded his chest, and fine chainmail hung low over his arms. A sword was sheathed along his back, and his daggers hung at his hips. But his face was just how I remembered it, his hair neatly combed, his beard nicely groomed, his eyes as cold and resolute as ever. He was here. My father was really here. looking at me, just 15 feet away, saving my life.
Let her go,
he said again.
Now.
Why was he protecting me? Didn't he want me dead? Was he going to kill me himself? Or did he actually plan on sparing me? Was it possible he really did care? Why the hell was I still thinking like this? Raz grumbled but shoved me forward into the ranks of Jax and Zell. I pulled myself behind them, and as I looked at my father, I felt way too many emotions at once. Relief and fear and gratitude and something else. Something I was afraid was still love.
I don't see why we can't just kill them,
Raz said.
I made a promise,
my father replied, and he refused to meet my gaze. A promise? I forced out. I wanted to scream, a promise to who? My father glanced over his shoulder. Two riders emerged from the trees, cantering slowly toward us now that the combat had stopped. One was a woman, and even at this distance I could tell it was Lady Hampstead, her hair up in a bun behind her head, her signature arrogant posture. And riding next to her was...
No. No, 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 no! To Miles Hampstead,
my father said.
Heir to House Hampstead, and as of this morning, newly legitimized son of Lady Robin. He made us swear to spare your lives. And in exchange, that soft little nerd told us everything,
Raz boasted.
The sisters, the tunnels, everything we needed.
Whatever adrenaline I had left drained out of me. I crumpled to my knees. The world throbbed at the edges of my vision. I felt like I was going to pass out. This was too much. It was just too much. No one spoke as Miles rode into the courtyard, or as he climbed off his horse and walked toward us. I think we just couldn't believe it. He wore a new tunic, all black, and had the golden owl of House Hampstead pinned to his chest. My brain raced with all the possibilities. Maybe this was all part of his plan. Maybe my father was trying to trick me. Maybe this would all work out. Then I saw his face. His eyes looked angry and broken, like something deep inside him had shattered. His mouth was clenched in a furious line, and his eyebrows blazed down in deep, angry furrows. He'd sold us out. Miles had actually sold us out.
You piece of shit!
Jax howled and lunged forward. Raz kicked him in the back of the leg before he could go anywhere, and Jax went sprawling out into the courtyard, where two of my father's men tackled him to the ground.
You traitorous rat piece of shit! I did what I had to do,
Miles said coldly.
For my house. For the West.
How was this happening? I trusted Miles. I'd believed in him. After everything we'd done, everything we'd been through, was he seriously selling us all out just so he could get back in his mother's good graces? Then he walked toward me, his eyes burning, and I realized, no, that wasn't it at all. This wasn't about his house. This was personal. He grabbed me by the chin and jerked my face up hard so I was looking right into his livid eyes.
I saw you,
he hissed, angrier than I'd ever seen anyone.
With him, in the pool, with the savage.
No, it couldn't be. That was what this was about? What Miles was willing to sell us all out for? This was all about his stupid crush? Miles, I whispered, how could you do this to us? We're your friends. We care about you.
If you cared about me, you wouldn't have screwed Zell,
Miles yelled. And holy shit, something in him had completely snapped. He was like a child throwing a tantrum, totally out of control. Had this been in him all along? Had the promise of my love been the only thing keeping him loyal? He shoved me down onto my back and slammed his hands against the wall, howling in fury.
You said this wasn't the right time, that we talk later. But all along, you just wanted him. Him! How could you do this to me? I saved your life, Tilla. I loved you first. You were supposed to be mine.
I was never going to be yours, I whispered back.
Miles glowered at me, breathing hard, then spun around.
You still will be. You'll see.
He stormed away. I tried to pull myself up, but my father flicked his hand in the air, gesturing to his men.
Wait,
I said, and then one of them flipped his sword around and cracked me across the head with its hard wooden pommel, and the darkness swallowed me before I even hit the ground.
Chapter 26. You know that feeling when you wake up in a new place and you're confused because you don't know where you are? Imagine that, except you're on a hard floor in a cold room, and your head is throbbing from the blow you took. And oh yeah, one of your best friends just horribly sold you out. It's not a great feeling. I awoke with a start, only to immediately be jerked back by a sharp pain in my wrists. Thick iron manacles bound my hands together, and a short chain hooked them into the wall behind me. I was in a small stone room with a single barred door, lit only by a pair of torches mounted in the walls. Through a slit of a window, I could see the night sky, which meant we were in a tower of some kind. Jax and Zell sat on opposite sides of me, both chained to the same wall, and Liriana was across the room. Her hands looked tiny in the heavy manacles, and then I realized why. All her rings were gone. She was powerless. We weren't going to magic our way out of this.
Well, shit, I said. Jax turned to me. He had a big purple bruise on his jawline and a busted lip. I guessed he'd taken more of a beating than I had.
Yep, that about covers it.
I closed my eyes. I had no idea how long I'd been out. My head hurt, but my heart ached more.
I don't suppose you guys have come up with any great escape plan?
Not unless Liriana can find a way to do magic without any rings, Jack said.
That seemed like a joke, but Liriana's eyes darted around, like she was struggling with a secret.
There are some circumstances where that might happen.
Liriana jerked her chained hands, showing that she could barely move them at all.
But even without rings, I'd still need my hands free to do the forms.
I looked over at Zell, but he didn't look back. He was just staring straight ahead, totally still, his gaze hard and focused on nothing at all.
I failed you, he said softly. I should have seen this coming. I let my guard down and I failed you all.
I wanted to reach out and touch him, but the chain was too short.
Zell, no. None of us could have seen this coming. I tried to figure out what had happened. Miles must have walked in on me and Zell in the baths sometime during the night.
And then what? He'd snuck out, gotten on his horse, and rode off into the distance, galloping until he got to my father's camp? Had he spent the whole time thinking about what he was going to say, the best way to betray us? Was he really willing to throw away everything we'd done just because I dared to sleep with someone else?
It was unthinkable, unbearable. But honestly, it made a horrible kind of sense. Miles had never cared about the mages or the war, or even Liriana. He'd just cared about me. He'd gone along with his whole plan because I'd wanted to, and everything he'd done had been to protect me, to get closer to me. I had been the only thing keeping him from running back to his mother. And then I'd gone and broken his stupid heart.
Don't despair, Liriana said, and even she sounded like she was forcing it. We've survived worse situations. We'll survive this, too.
I was about to tell her I wished I had her optimism when a rattling sound came from the prison door. I pulled back against the wall, and next to me, Jax jerked up his manacles to wield as weapons. I don't know who we were expecting. A torturer, maybe? Or a leather-masked executioner? The door swung open, and Miles walked in. Worst option of all. He was still wearing that impeccable black tunic with the obnoxious golden owl pinned to his chest. I suspected it'd be months until he took it off. There was a confidence in his stride that hadn't been there before, almost a bit of a swagger. It pissed me off something awful. Miles looked around the room at how far we'd all pulled away from him, even Liriana. "Come on, guys," he said, and I couldn't believe how betrayed he sounded. "I'm not going to hurt you." I wondered at his weird emphasis, and then he gestured behind him. Two guards, House Hampstead men by their winged helms, came in, dragging a third man behind them. Galen. His face was a mess of dried blood and puffy bruises, his eyes so swollen I doubted he could see out of them. I can't say I liked the guy much, but I hated seeing him like this. He didn't say anything as the guards dragged him across the floor, shoved him against the wall next to Liriana, and clamped his wrists into the spare set of chains dangling there. I thought he might be unconscious, but I caught a glimpse of his eyes through those narrow, puffy slits. He looked pissed. We all were.
"Hey, traitor, I've got a hell of a secret for you," Jax growled. "Why don't you come close and I'll tell you?"
Miles sighed.
"Look, I'm not happy about how this played out. You probably don't believe me, but it honestly upsets me to see you all like this. I was hoping you'd surrender peacefully. But it is what it is."
He gestured again to his guards, sending them out of the room, then turned to look right at me.
"Don't worry, though. This is just temporary, I promise. Soon the mages will be taken care of and this will all be over. He won't have to be in this tower for very long."
I'd been trying to hold back the commentary, but now I just couldn't help myself.
"Seriously? What exactly do you think our parents are going to do to us?"
"I've got it all planned out," Miles said. "I made sure my terms of surrender were very clear. None of you are to be harmed. Not even
the Zatochi." "And what is to become of me?"
Zell asked.
"You will be returned to the custody of your father, so he may do with you as he sees fit,"
Miles said, unable to hide a certain nasty satisfaction.
"Lord Reza and the princess will be held as high-value hostages, to be ransomed back to Lightspire when the time is right. Antilla and Jax, you'll be taken to Castle Waverly, where you'll live as Lord Kent's wards. You won't be able to leave the castle, of course, but other than that, things will go back to exactly how they were. And once this war is over, if you've proven your loyalty to the West, you'll be pardoned of your crimes and granted your freedom."
He gave a small shrug.
"It's a great deal, the best any of us could have hoped for."
"I don't want a great deal," Liriana scowled. "I want to prevent a war."
Miles rolled his eyes.
"Oh, please, princess. You can bullshit the others, but you can't bullshit me. There was always going to be a war. If not today, then a month from now. We both know it's going to happen. You just want to make sure your side wins. Isn't that right, Lord Reza?"
Galen craned his head up toward Miles and spat out a tooth. It left a long, bloody trail on the floor.
"I rest my case."
Miles turned to look at me.
"We forgot who we were, Tilla. But I remember now. I'm a Hampstead. I'm a Westerner. And I'm not going to sell out my family and my people for scraps from the table of some Lightspire king."
I didn't know which was scarier. The idea that Miles had so quickly embraced his family's ideology, or the possibility he'd just been swallowing it down to woo me. I had to hope it was the first.
"Miles, listen to me. It's not too late. Let us out of here. We can still meet up with the mages and try to make this right."
Miles scoffed.
"The mages are riding straight into an ambush. This time tomorrow, they'll be dead, and the West will be on its path toward freedom."
Jax laughed.
"Yeah, except the mages know all about the ambush. Lord Reza warned them, remember? No way they're going to fall into your trap."
"You really are dumber than a bag of bricks, aren't you, Jax?"
Miles said.
"The mages know all about Lord Kent's first plan, ambushing them during the banquet he had Lord Reza set up, which is why we were going to ambush them when they ride through Pioneer's Pass instead."
The room was silent, and Miles's smug smile was unbearable.
"What are you talking about?"
I demanded.
"How are you going to ambush three companies of mages?"
with 100 mage-killer bombs strapped to arrows, raining down on them as they pass through the valley's narrowest point. Miles casually explained, and in that second he sounded exactly like his mother. Why do you think we needed to take those sisters of Kaya alive? Every one of them is a stack of mage-killers just waiting to get made. Lyriana gasped. I felt sick. You piece of shit, I muttered. You heard your mom explain how they made those things. Those sisters. Those poor women. You're going to let your mother drug them and torture them to death? All so she can kill more people? Miles looked away. Was that maybe a flicker of guilt? It's unnecessary evil. I saw it, Galen said, his voice scratchy and raw. They've turned the Great Hall into a torture chamber, and they're going through the sisters one by one. It's unspeakable. Wars have casualties, Miles said. How many Westerners died last time around? How many more will your mages kill? He really was this far gone. Who the hell are you, Miles? People are dead because of you. Those innocent women are being murdered. How could you do this? How could you betray us like this? A vein in Miles's forehead pulsed, and his nostrils flared. That struck a nerve. How could I betray you? How could I betray you? He walked forward, shaking a finger, and this was the other Miles now, the one who had grabbed me back in the hallway, the one who scared me more than Raz. You betrayed me, Tilla. You betrayed me! How? Because I was promised to you by our parents? Miles's eyes were wild, his voice fast and frantic. When we kissed back in that grove, you said we just needed to get to safety, and then we talk. There was an implication there that you felt the same way. Don't deny it. I glanced away, a little out of guilt, but mostly because I couldn't keep looking at him. He wasn't totally wrong. I could have been more honest with him. I could have had the hard talk. And maybe I did let him walk away thinking there was more of a chance than there was. But did that in any way justify this? Was any of this even close to what we deserved? When you told me you needed more time, I listened. Miles jabbed his finger in my face like a dagger. I respected you. I was a perfect gentleman. And then you chose Zell, a Zatochi murderer? Miles turned away, and the bitter resentment just oozed out of his voice. Why? Because he's so much better looking than I am? Because he's got those dreamy eyes and those perfect abs? Well, what the hell am I supposed to do about that? What can I even begin to do about that? I saved your life, Tilla. I tackled a mercenary for you. I did so much, and still, him? I closed my eyes. I can't deal with this, Miles, not now. And sure as hell not shackled in a tower. If you wanted to talk to me like a person, like a friend, you could have. But that chance is gone. Actually, it isn't. Miles ran his hands along his shaved head, like he had done back when he'd had hair. When I saw you with Zell, I felt like you'd ripped my heart out through my throat. I've never been more upset. I rode off, no idea what I was doing. I honestly thought about just throwing myself off one of the cliffs.
Should have done that, Jax grumbled.
And then I realized this just doesn't make sense. The Tilla I know, the Tilla I loved, wouldn't hurt me like that. That just wasn't her. But it is me, Miles, I pleaded. The Tilla that you know is this weird, elaborate fantasy you've built up over the years because you thought we'd be getting married. Jax cocked an eyebrow at that. You don't love me. You love an idea of me. But this is who I am, and Zell is who I really choose.
No, you're wrong. You're confused,
Miles said, with the creepy, reassuring quality of someone talking to themselves.
This whole thing with your father and what we saw and then the Dolan brothers, it's messed you up, tangled your mind, made you hysterical. What you're saying, what you're doing, it just doesn't make any sense.
Sense? What sense is there in betraying your friends?
Miles acted like he hadn't heard me.
Just think about it. Use your head. If we ally ourselves with our parents, we'll be better off than we could ever be in Lightspire. Their revolution is going to succeed. The West will be free, your father will be king, and we'll both be nobles sitting on the highest court in the kingdom. You'd give all that up to be... what?
He gestured his hand around the cell at Zell and Jax.
Queen of the bastards? I don't want to be the queen of anything, I growled. And that's something only a deluded person would say.
Miles's face had never looked more punchable.
That's why I'm not mad anymore, Tilla. I forgive you.
And holy shit, wow. I didn't think it'd be possible for Miles to make me angrier with him, but there he went and did it. It was bad enough to paint me as some kind of betrayer, but to act like I was crazy, like my choices weren't my own, like he knew me so much better than I knew myself.
You forgive me? Are you serious?
I am, he said.
And when we get back to Castle Waverly, you'll see. You'll remember. Everything will go back to how it was.
How it...
I repeated. And then I understood what he was implying, and I actually had to fight back the urge to lunge at him.
No. No way in hell. You don't still expect us to get married, do you?
Miles turned away. Now he couldn't look at me.
You'll see. You'll remember.
No, I will not see, I yelled.
Maybe when he'd walked into this room, I'd had a glimmer of pity for him, that tiniest part of me that still felt bad for what he'd been through. Not anymore. All I felt was burning, pulsing, white-hot anger. I wanted to hurt him. I wanted to hurt him so bad.
Let me make one thing crystal clear, Miles. I don't care if you're Lord of House Hampstead or King of Novaris. If you drag me down the altar, I will kick and spit and scream the whole way. And if you pull me into your bed, I will slit your throat the second you're asleep.
I couldn't see his face, but I could see his shoulders shuddering.
Good. Listen to me very clearly, Miles. I will never want you, and I will never, ever love you.
Miles stood there for a while, silent, trembling, and I almost wondered if he was going to spin around and hit me or something. But he just took a deep breath and collected himself.
The real Tilla would never say something so horrible,
he said firmly, reassuring himself more than talking to me.
You'll remember who you are. You'll see. We'll fix this. We'll fix it all.
He stalked out of the room, and his guardsmen followed, pulling the door shut. The latch slid loudly into place on the other side. I yelled and thrashed around, kicking my feet out and slamming my manacles onto the ground. It hurt. I didn't care.
Tilla, it's okay, Lyriana tried. You'll be okay.
No, I won't, I said.
I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and held it in my lungs for a count of 10. 1, 2. I let it out, too angry to keep going.
Shit! If I had just been a little more honest with him, if I had just told him how I really felt, then none of this would have happened.
No,
Zell said. He stared at the door, a distant look on his face. He was armoring up, putting on that hardened exterior. I wished he wouldn't, but how could I possibly tell him not to?
This isn't your fault. Miles made his choices. He is who he is, who he always was and will be.
He narrowed his gaze.
Lots of men have their hearts broken. Most of them don't betray their friends as a result.
I wanted so badly to be in his arms again, to feel his lips and his warmth. How the hell could Miles take the best moment of my life and turn it into something so shameful and horrible?
What are we going to do?
For starters, we're going to escape,
Galen said, and we all turned to stare at him.
You, Stableland, Feel around in the wall behind your right ear. There should be a tiny crack between two of the bricks.
Jack said, but he did as he was told. He craned his hand up and rooted around there for a while, and then his eyes went wide. He pulled his hand back, and lying in the center of his big palm was a thin metal pin. A lockpick.
Son of a... Here's a tip, if you're ever taking a castle,
Galen said.
Don't lock a lord in his own tower. You know how to use that thing, Stablehand.
Jax grinned at me.
Remember when I was 12 and wanted to be a master thief? Lockpicking is pretty much the only useful skill I got out of that.
I seem to recall you being pretty good at pinching peaches off fruit stands, I smiled back. Even now, Jack somehow had the power to make me feel better. Didn't you want us to call you the Silky Phantom? Jack slid the pin into the keyhole on his manacle and began delicately twisting it around, his tongue poking out in concentration.
It was the Velvet Phantom, and you really didn't have to share that with the group.
Liriana giggled. I turned to Zell, but he was deep in concentration.
So, Jax will free himself, and then us,
he thought out loud.
I've been listening to the footfalls outside the door, and my guess is there are two guards, maybe three. We can lure them in by claiming the princess is ill, and then I can take them. Then what?
Got it!
Jax exclaimed, jerking his hands up. His manacles fell to the floor with a metallic clatter. I figured he'd free Zell next, or Galen, but he ran over to Liriana and gently took her hands in his.
I've got you, Your Majesty. Let's get you out of those things.
Liriana glanced down.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Jack slid the pin into her manacles.
Just gotta feel around until I find the mechanism. No.
Zell shot up sharply.
Get back now. I hear footsteps.
Ugh, it had to be Miles, probably coming back to make me even angrier. Jax jumped away in a hurry, leaving the hairpin still in Liriana's manacles, and scurried back to his part of the room. He slid against the wall and sat down, pulling his hands and his chain underneath him. It looked like an incredibly awkward way to sit, but you couldn't see his free wrists or his opened manacles. I hoped that was good enough. The latch on the other side of the door rattled and slid aside.
"Miles, I swear, if you've come back to talk to me,"
I grumbled, and then the door swung open and my words turned into a gasp.
"Oh, I'm not Miles."
Raz stepped into the room and quietly shut the door behind him.
"And I definitely haven't come here to talk."
He turned to where Liriana was lying, and he grinned, poking at his fangs with the tip of his tongue.
"I came here to play."
I pressed my back against the wall. Liriana shrieked and fell onto her side. Zell alone sprang forward as if trying to break his manacles free from the wall.
"Raz! Fight me, you coward! Let's finish this now!"
Raz let out an exaggerated sigh.
"You had your chance to finish this with honor, and you blew it at the Tainrell Lock. Now you get to sit there and watch me have my fun."
On the ground, Liriana had crawled back as far as her chain would let her, but Raz walked toward her, slowly, deliberately, obviously enjoying how scared she was. That sick son of a bitch. I tugged against my manacles, begging them to break, but they held firm.
"Back in Zal Corso, Father promised me I'd get to kill a castle rat princess, and you idiots took that away from me."
"She's Lord Kent's most valuable hostage, and he needs her alive,"
I tried desperately.
"If you kill her, you're ordering your own execution."
"Don't worry, bastard. I'm not going to kill her."
Raz had walked all the way up to Liriana's gasping, trembling form. He hunkered down in a squat next to her and grabbed her chin in one gloved hand, turning her face around so she was staring right at him.
"I won't even leave a mark."
With a roar, Jax lunged up from the ground and charged across the room, his manacles flying away behind him. Raz spun around and for one tiny moment was too surprised to react. That moment was all Jax needed. He barreled into Raz with his shoulder and slammed him into the hard stone wall. Raz let out a choked wheeze as the impact knocked the breath out of him. Liriana scrambled away, pulling herself as far in the other direction as she could go.
"Get him, Jax!"
I shouted as Jack started punching Raz once, twice, right in the face. On the third punch, though, Raz snapped to his senses and jerked his head aside. Jax's fist swung right into the wall. He hissed in pain and stumbled back, clutching his hand, crimson trickling out between his fingers. Moving fast, way too fast, Raz spun one of his curved daggers out of its sheath and plunged it straight at Jax's heart. I fought back a scream, but Jax caught Raz's wrist with one hand, stopping the point of the dagger barely an inch from his chest. Raz growled and shoved harder, pushing the dagger with both hands, but Jax held firm, and the two men stood there, locked, sweating and gritting their teeth. They turned around, still shoving, and now Jax's back was to me, and I could barely see what was going on. My heart was thundering, blood roared in my ears. Raz was a brutal warrior who'd spent his life training for moments just like this. But Jax was strong as a damn ox. With a roar of his own, Jax pulled back his head and then smashed it forward, hitting Raz right in the face with a devastating headbutt. Raz's nose shattered with a loud crack. The Zatoichi staggered back, blood trickling down his lips, and Jax spun around and hit him with the single hardest uppercut I'd ever seen in my life. Raz was lifted clear off his feet and flew across the room, and the back of his head hit the wall with a wet thump. He crumpled to the ground and lay there, knocked clean out. Liriana cried out in relief. I let out a whoop of my own, grinning from ear to ear. Then Jax turned around slowly, with a stumble, and my joy turned to horror. The front of his tunic was soaked red. Jutting out of his chest, just below his heart, was a dagger's hilt. Raz's second blade. The one he must have drawn when Jax went for the headbutt.
Shit!
Jax whispered and collapsed to the floor. No! I screamed and pulled forward, tearing my wrists against the manacles. I looked to Zell for help, but his grim expression said everything I didn't want to hear.
No!
Liriana frantically twisted the hairpin around and, with a flick of her wrist, threw off her manacles. She slid forward to where Jax was lying and pulled his head up, resting it in her lap.
Jax, she begged. Jax, no! Stay with me! Please! Please stay with me!
All the color had drained from Jax's face. His eyes were distant, unable to focus. He was going fast.
I...
He tried weakly, his lips barely moving.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die here. Please. I don't want to die.
And the fear in his voice was like a fist crushing my heart because he couldn't die. Not my big brother. He couldn't die scared and begging and broken on the floor. It couldn't end like this.
I don't want to die,
Jax whispered, already growing faint. Liriana cradled him in her lap, stroking his hair, and then she leaned down and kissed him. This wasn't a gentle kiss between friends. This was a kiss of passion, loving, tender, lingering. The kiss she'd saved her whole life. The kind of kiss you never forget. She held him there and she kissed him so deeply, and when she pulled away, his face wasn't scared or pained, but at peace. He looked up into Liriana's eyes, and his mouth gave the slightest hint of a smile. And this was the Jax I knew. The Jax I'd grown up with. The Jax who couldn't imagine a better way to go out than kissing a princess.
I love you, she whispered.
Love,
he murmured. He went still, his eyes fixed, staring up at Liriana. He looked at peace. And he died. I clutched my hand over my mouth and made a horrible sound, part scream and part rasp and part wretch. I couldn't see because my eyes were burning. The world trembled and shook. My stomach roiled. This couldn't be happening. But it was. My brother, my rock, my best friend. You know how they say your life flashes before your eyes when you die? Well, mine flashed before my eyes right then. Not the life I'd lived, but the life I wouldn't get to live.
The life where Jax and I made it to Lightspire together. The life where we got to settle down and explore the city and joke around like we always had. The life where he went to my wedding and I went to his, and our kids played together while we sat back with a glass of wine. The life I'd always taken for granted.